Pumping the gas pedal, he set the choke and pressed the starter. The engine sluggishly turned over with a sad, groaning noise that slowly started to build in speed and volume. Pumping the gas harder, Ryan adjusted the choke to make the mixture to the carburetor richer, and the engine sputtered briefly, then caught with a roar, banging and clanging. Reaching under the hood, JB used a screwdriver to adjust something Ryan couldn't see because of the angle, and the big diesel suddenly settled down.
That'll do it.
JB tucked the screwdriver back into his munitions bag.
Better let her run until we're ready to leave. That'll give the seals a chance to absorb some oil before we put them under real pressure.
Playing with the choke, Ryan got the engine lowered to a gentle rumble, the sputters coming with less and less frequency. They needed to run the engine to break it in before leaving, but with the ventilation system gone, the exhaust fumes mixed with the previous oil smoke and the mounting stink of the aced millipedes into a noxious reek that was getting worse by the minute.
Okay, load her up. Toss in anything you think we might need. With the power gone, once we're outside, we're not getting back in. So this is a one-way trip. Strip the place to the walls.
The companions moved with a purpose, eager to leave the dying redoubt. Since there were no seats in the rear of the WAG, they added a couple of the better mattresses from the officers' quarters and packed spare blankets, a shovel, spare rope, some chains, the box full of Molotovs, spare pieces of canvas from the other GMC trunks to use as patches, and all of the fuel containers they could comfortably fit. It took everyone, including Ryan, to hoist the water drum into the rear of the trunk, and they latched it firmly in place in the middle of the fuel cans. It would just be a bit of extra insurance.
That's everything. Let's move out!
Slamming shut the gate and locking it into position with steel pins on both sides, the armorer went to the front cab and climbed into the passenger seat alongside Ryan, laying the S&W shotgun between them where it couldn't be seen from the ground. Doc stuck his head through the tiny slit of the rear window.
Expecting trouble, John Barrymore?
There was a sliding panel to separate the cab from the cargo space, but it was open at the moment. The man was trying not to show it, but the filthy air was obviously hurting his throat. The armorer checked the action on his Uzi machine gun.
Just being prepared for it.
Hang on, this is gonna be rough.
Fireblast, the air was almost thick enough to chew. Ryan's forehead was still hurting from the earlier slam, and this crap was making his entire head throb. Shifting into a low gear, he threw the switch, engaging the independent drive system, and started to climb over the smashed cars until reaching the floor again. Now going to uniform drive, Ryan fed the big diesel some power, and the front steel grate slammed into another WAG, knocking it aside. The jolt shook the entire group, and the people in the back had to hang on tight and drop their nuke lamps.
Put the pedal to the metal!
Mildred paid for her shouting by getting a lungful of the billowing smog and almost passed out. Saving his breath, Ryan didn't reply, but did as she suggested, and soon a clear area led the WAG to another impasse blocked by wreckage. Using the independent drive again, he tried to keep the lumbering WAG level as its weight noisily crumpled the hoods of luxury government cars and smaller vehicles.
Running hot! Don't like that!
Ignore it! It'll be fine!
With a hard jounce, the WAG hit the concrete floor again, and now there was nothing barring their way to the exit tunnel. Designed for much larger vehicles, the GMC 6x6 had plenty of room to traverse the zigzagging path of the anti-radiation maze. A dozen small cracks in the tunnel wall were brightly lit by the headlights of the vehicle, but none appeared deeper than a yard or so, and there was no sensation of a warm breeze. Actually, at this point, they would have welcomed it. Everyone was breathing hard, as their lungs labored to draw in enough oxygen, and Christy looked as if she were going to be ill at any moment. They reached the end of the access tunnel, and spanning the wall before the 6x6 was a colossal black door, large enough for a pre-dark army tank to roll through without hindrance. The 2.5-ton WAG they were in was a toy in comparison. Carefully, they looked the door over for any warping or discoloring that would indicate a close nuke hit, but the dense metal was as smooth as satin, without a mark. Ryan braked to a halt, the companion staying alert while he slid out of the driver's seat, and JB went behind the wheel, covering him with the Uzi. Walking to the wall on an angle so that the headlights would illuminate his way, Ryan found an armored keypad set into the frame and tried the exit code. But nothing happened. Expecting that, he pried open a service hatch under the keypad and grabbed hold of the wheel. It took all of the man's strength to get the mechanism working. The wheel began to turn, gradually becoming looser, and the speed increased until there was a solid clunk. Releasing the wheel, Ryan pulled hard on the lever alongside, and there was a low rumble as the thick alloy door began to rise. A wave of heat washed into the redoubt, bringing a wealth of hot, clean air. The companions breathed in deep, savoring the lack of smells, even as wind-blown sand hit the windshield of the WAG with stinging force. As Ryan took the passenger seat, JB hit the gas and drove toward the opening. Even as the vehicle reached the blast door, the rising door was noticeably slowing, the charge built by rotating the wheel barely enough to move the megatons of armored steel. As the WAG drove through the opening, the blast door began to close, and there was a screech of metal on metal as it caught the rear gate of the WAG. The trapped vehicle was slowly being crushed. JB shifted gears and hit the gas, banking the steering wheel hard to angle the aft end free from the grasp of the Titanic blast door before any serious damage was done. With a painful screech, the gate was torn free and the door slammed shut, crushing the piece of military steel flat against the jamb of the redoubt as if it were no more than cardboard.
Time to reload. Deathlands is continued on the next CD.
In a world plagued by terrorism, drastic times call for drastic measures. To fight America's invisible enemies, an agency is needed that isn't exactly bound by the rules. Stony Man. Only from Cutting Audio.